Apocalypse, February 14, 2023. It all began with a question, more of a passing thought, really. Hannah Katz, 25, a part-time student at Union County College in New Jersey, asked, what would happen if everyone said exactly what they wanted to say on Valentine's Day? The subtext of the question, would you and I be telling each other the same thing? Ms. Katz, however, did not possess the courage needed to make her appeal more specific, not to the level of pronouns and certainly not to the level of proper names. Much of her free time is spent reading Victorian literature or watching BBC miniseries. However, Ms. Katz's sadly anachronistic reticence did have the fortunate and unlikely consequence of generalizing her situation to the point of asking the entire world the same question. What would happen if everyone said exactly what they wanted to say on Valentine's Day? You could say it truly was technology that brought the world to an end since, after a nonchalant post on her Twitter feed, Ms. Katz's words were soon circulating in every nook and cranny of the World Wide Web. It was not long before Ms. Katz ceased to exist in the conversation. Indeed, she only continued to exist in the world of 19th century stories that she read with increasing fervor while pining away for the man who didn't realize that he was Mr. Darcy. Liberated from Ms. Katz's obscure name, the question soon became attached to a number of high-profile individuals. It was Oprah who said it first. No, the president. The Dalai Lama. The time for action had come. First, students on various college campuses began standardizing a time and a place, on Valentine's Day, of course, for people to see each other, say their piece, and get on with life. Or get it on, as a few detractors would sneer with a shudder. Soon thereafter, cities jumped on the bandwagon. Libraries, parks, downtowns, even random intersections became some of the designated locations. 12 p.m., the designated time. My wife and I decided we would head out together. Raymond Marquez, 46, of Tuscaloosa, Alabama, explained of his sojourn to the city hall. Felicia Marquez, his wife of 26 years, blushed and buried her head in his flannel shirt while clinging to his side. We probably won't be saying anything different from last Valentine's Day. It just seemed right to say it around a bunch of people. In solidarity, you know? At precisely 12:01 p.m., Mr. and Mrs. Marquez told each other the exact same words that they had whispered to each other in a dark room 365 days ago. They didn't even realize that they were the exact same words. Adam Porofsky, 51, and his wife Katrina, 43, agreed ahead of time to arrive at the steps of the New York Metropolitan Museum separately. Neither of them intended to look for the other there, having come to terms with the decline of their marriage. Even before the clock struck noon, Mr. and Mrs. Porofsky passionately locked lips with their private lovers. Yet, for a fleeting moment around 12:01, Mr. and Mrs. Porofsky thought simultaneously of each other. Delia Hersher didn't talk about the February 14th outing with her husband, but he was such the romantic type, always buying her flowers and massaging her feet after work, that she knew she could expect to find him there. They didn't even need communication. They simply understood each other. At noon, Mrs. Hersher arrived at the downtown gazebo in Orange, California, in a white spring dress and a pink sun hat. At 12:01, Mrs. Hersher spotted the back of his favorite sports jersey, the one that didn't make it into the wash as much as it should. As she got closer, she noticed another pair of slim, suntanned arms clinging onto his jersey. He was looking into another woman's eyes the way he used to look into hers. Mrs. Hersher resisted the urge to slap him, to tell him how much she hated him, because in the spirit of the day, she knew that she still loved him. "I love you," she said, as she brushed by him and walked away. Margot and Andy Peterson, 78 and 79 respectively, bought airplane tickets to Paris, their original honeymoon locale, as soon as the raging social media trickled down to their Iowa nursing home. The couple planned to arrive in Paris early, because they were always early, but they missed their transfer when Mr. Peterson refused to take the complimentary shuttle service for the elderly at JFK. Nevertheless, Margot and Andy Peterson still arrived at the base of the Eiffel Tower early. The Petersons sat in silence together on a park bench for 3 hours while watching the crowds gather. At precisely 12:01 p.m., Margot and Andy Peterson said nothing to each other. They said exactly what they had come to say. In Fort Collins, Colorado, Jessica Hahn, 20, and Nora Alba, 22, debated whether or not to go to the church parking lot at noon with the rest of the congregation. "Sure, but only if we don't actually say anything," Nora told Jessica. Their stare would mean enough, say enough, Jessica thought. But when the time came, Nora spoke honestly and said, "Jessica, I can't do this." She darted around the back of the building with Jessica at her heels. There, at approximately 12:01 p.m., Nora whispered, "I wish I wasn't gay more than almost anything in the world, except that I wish more that I could make you happy." Jessica's reply, "You do, you do." At 12 o'clock p.m. in San Francisco, Natalie Hardy, 31, was still thinking of him, just as she had been thinking of him when she made her oatmeal in the morning, when she scanned her card on the train on the way to work, when her coworker made an ignorant comment about Shakespeare's sonnets to impress the artificially blonde caterer in the break room. They hadn't seen each other in months. Were they even friends? Yes, she had to remind herself, and she cherished the fact. She strolled into Union Square in her lunch break, knowing that he wouldn't be there, but thinking that the journey would somehow make her unromantic life more cinematic, a justifiable sadness. Staring up at the thinning fog, Natalie heard the sound of her phone ring. At 12:01, she heard the sound of his voice for the first time in 3 months, 2 weeks, and 6 days. At 12:01 p.m. in Chicago, Lawrence Ryer, 17, crouched in the shade of Buckingham Fountain with a red rose in his hand. But she didn't show up, even though she promised she would be there. Even though they promised each other that they would make it work no matter where they found themselves next year, at school across the country or behind the counter of the drugstore down the street. Yes, he had things to tell her, but would it really be the truth? Would it really be the truth when his words were actually directed towards a person who didn't really exist? The ideal of intelligence and beauty he saw in his mind? At precisely 12:01 p.m., the sky became saturated with itself and burst into a billion shiny pieces. Imaginary structures emerged from the ground like the lost city of Atlantis, fusing with skylines and empty landscapes to create new worlds, as yet unseen. The pieces of sky fluttered to the ground like petals, but then there was no ground. Human bodies were swept up like antique glass buoys on the ocean's surface. They glittered like them, too, in transparent colors. Everything seemed so fragile, while holding up the frame of existence on shoulders of unfathomable strength. New memories from unrealized pasts flew in from uncharted directions before resuming their migration into other unknowns. The flapping of their papery wings made the invisible earth dance on its axis. All knowledge was removed from the equation with the kindest surgical incision. In its place, the most subtle substitution, understanding. For once, the stars did not withhold their light. There were new colors, new smells, new senses, and a universal comprehension that this was the end. Detractors maintain that this is absurd. The world did not end, and even if it did, how could it end precisely at 12:02 p.m. everywhere in the world at the same time? The world is round. Time zones are graduated. And if that won't convince you, we're still living. Nevertheless, their doubts will never stifle the faith of Hannah Katz, who, at 11:55 a.m., was prematurely telling the man that she adored how she felt about him for the first time. At 11:59 a.m., they were racing to the remote science fiction corner of the Union County Public Library. At 12:01 p.m., she felt the first touch of his tongue on a part of her skin that had never been touched like that before. At 12:01 and 54 seconds, she let out a soft, exhilarated moan, and in that bliss, she knew that her life would never be the same again. This is the way the world ends. This is the way the world ends. This is the way the world ends. Not with a bang, but a whimper.